Yofi. Okay, everyone, hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone's family is doing well and everyone is safe at home. Mitzvah Hashem, you know, we should enter into this Chag in good health and spending it with the people that we love most. So I just want to start. Tonight's topic is, I forgot what the topic was, but the discussion tonight will be about Bidikat Chametz. It's not going to be about the halachot of Bidikat Chametz. I'm going to leave that for you to learn on your own. If anyone has any questions regarding Bidikat Chametz, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be more than happy to help you. But it's going to be about, tonight's shiur is going to be about the underlying reasons behind the bidika, what it means and what the significance of it is. Okay, so we know that, let's start with a few questions first. And we're going to ask five questions, okay, so keep track. We're going to ask five questions. Hold on tight. And Bezat Hashem, we're gonna come and answer all those questions in one shot. Okay. So first of all, Pesach has a few nicknames. It's called the month is called Chodesh Aviv, Zman Cherutenu, it's called the month of our freedom, it's called Chag HaMatzot, it's called the holiday of the Matzot, because we eat Matzah. But let's just take those two names for a second. Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of Matzot, that we eat Matzah, meaning what? Meaning we eat Matzah and we don't eat Chametz, right? So we're eating specifically Matzah and not anything that's Chametz, okay? So that's one. And the other one is Zman Cherutenu, the time of our freedom, basically Independence Day, okay? Yom Ha'atzma'ut is really Pesach. I'm not making any political statements over here. Yom Ha'atzmaut is Pesach. It's the day of our freedom that we received our freedom. So Zman Cherutenu means it symbolizes freedom. Chag HaMatzot means we are allowed to only eat matzah and not chametz. What's the connection between those two names? They're both referring to the same holiday. There must be a connection between them. That's number one. Question number two. More than any other mitzvah on Pesach, okay, you know, the emphasis on Pesach, out of all the mitzvot, the emphasis is on what? Is on eradicating and getting rid of chametz. Not only is it the most important and the most emphasized mitzvah on Pesach, it's also one of the most emphasized mitzvot the entire year. We go crazy, our mothers, grandmothers, you know, we all go crazy over the mitzvah of chametz. Why is that? Why do we go crazy over it? On top of that, we know that the Arizal says that whoever is careful with even a crumb of chametz, that means making sure that you don't even have a crumb of chametz in your home, in your possession, says the Arizal, he makes you a guarantee. Okay, here we go. He guarantees you a Super Bowl victory. Says the Arizal, you're guaranteed not to sin the entire year. His words are muftach lo, he is guaranteed, shelo yechte kol hashana, that he will not sin the entire year. What exactly does that mean? That's a pretty bold guarantee, but we're not going to try to go and clarify whether or not it's going to happen, but what's the significance behind that? What's the connection behind that? That's question number three. Question number four is, we know the minhag, which actually dates from the Arizal himself. We know that there's a custom to lay out 10 pieces of chametz before we go and do the bidika. Before we go and check for chametz, we lay out 10 pieces of chametz around the house, and we try to go find it. Now, this is true even if you spent the past 3 weeks going to search, you know, in every single crack and crevice in your home. It's going to be true that you still should what? You still should lay out those 10 pieces of chametz around your house and go and look for them. Ah, but you know that your house is completely clean from chametz. You know there's no more chametz in your house. You could guarantee that. No, still you got to lay out these 10 pieces, make the bracha, bedikat chametz, and go and search for the chametz. What is this, a game over here? We're trying to play a game? You either have, you checked for chametz or you didn't check for chametz. What's the significance of these 10 pieces that we're putting out, even though we know that there is no chametz in our house? Question number four. Question number five, this is a question that you should really have all year round, but we say in Arvit every single night. in after Shema, in the Parashiot of Shema, right afterwards, Emet ve'emuna kol zot ve'kayam aleinu. In the middle of that paragraph, it says, "Vayotzi tamo Yisrael." And we're thanking Hashem, we're praising Hashem. Hashem, you took us out. "Vayotzi tamo Yisrael mitocham." Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim lecherut olam, to an everlasting freedom. Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim once and for all. We were free men. You took us out. We became free. We received our independence. And Baruch Hashem, that has been an everlasting freedom. It's been eternal. We never looked back anymore. And we've been free from that day until this moment in time. Are you serious? We've been free. That's Holocaust, Crusades, Inquisitions, pogroms. That's far from freedom. That's not freedom. We've been tortured and persecuted and been victimized by anti-Semitism for thousands of years since Mitzrayim. So what does that mean that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim lecherut olam, to an everlasting freedom? Those are five questions. Put that in the back of your minds. Let's explain for a few minutes. Bezat Hashem, let's learn a little bit what the significance of Bedikat Chametz is. Mesiata Dishmaya. Fasten your seatbelts, everyone. Here we go. So before we discuss Bedikat Chametz and answer all these questions, first, we must define exactly what Chametz is. What exactly is Chametz? Okay? So Chametz, obviously, Chametz is, you know, bread, something that rises, dough that rises, so on and so forth. But let's see what the definition is in the Gemara and Brachot. The Gemara and Brachot, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, says, Rav Alexandri, Batar de Matzli. After he prayed Shemona Esrei, so this is in the middle of the Gemara that lists a lot of different Tanaim and Amoraim, that they basically created their own prayers after Shemona Esrei, their own personal prayers. So Rav Alexandri, what was his personal prayer that he said that he included after Shemona Esrei every single time? He said, "Bata Dematzi Amar Hachi." This is what he said: "Ribona Olami, Master of the World, Galui V'Yadua Lefanecha. It is revealed before you." You know very well, Hashem, Sherotzonenu lasot ratzoncha, that deep down, our desire is really, our ratzon, our will, is to do your will, is to do what you want. Deep down, that's what we want to do. We want to do what you want. But what's the problem? He continues, Umi me'akev, and who's holding us back from doing exactly, doing what God wants from us? Se'or shebe'isa. It is the seor, it's the leaven, it's the yeast that is in the dough. So anyone here who knows anything about baking knows that in order to get the dough to rise, you need to put yeast inside. And that's why you cannot put yeast in any dough over Pesach, because it's going to rise. And that's what makes the dough chametz. That's what makes the flour chametz, the yeast. The yeast is what causes it to rise. So yeast, seor shebeisa. So that's what he says. The seor shebeisa, basically the chametz that is inside of us, that's what causes us to sin. Says Rashi, what's that referring to? What's that? What does that mean, the chametz inside of us? Rashi says it's referring to the yetzer hara that's inside of each and every single one of us that holds us back from doing God's will. That's what holds us back. That's what it is. So Rav Alexandri says at the end of the Shemona Esrei, where he just praised God, he just asked for things, and he just thanked God, the three different sections of Shemona Esrei, before he ended his conversation with God, what did he say? That, God, come on, let's be straight up over here. You and I know, you know, we both know that deep down every single Jew wants to do exactly what you want. We know that. What's holding us back? The Yetzer Hara that you yourself put inside of us. That's what's holding us back. Just to understand this for a second, the Gemara is telling us that deep down, you and I, as well as your parents and your children, if you have any children, your siblings, family members, friends, etc., anyone else in your life, that every single Jew in your life wants to do God's will. We want it. It's just that Hashem planted within us this Yetzer Hara that is supposed to constantly challenge us. That's what it is. This Gemara needs to be engraved inside of each and every single one of us, engraved inside of our hearts. Never put yourself down again. You are pure. Your desires are pure. You want to do the right thing. You just need to overcome that obstacle that Hashem placed before you. Hashem placed this big obstacle inside of you called the Yetzer Hara, called the Chametz. One must never judge himself and put himself down for averot that he's done. Understand that deep down, your ratzon, your will, is to do God's will. That's what it is. That's what the Gemara tells us. That's what the Gemara testifies. It's just that chametz, that yetzarah inside of us, which is what prevents us, makes life so difficult for us. It's challenging. In addition, nobody here has the right to judge another Jew as well. If we all internalize this Gemara, that every single Jew wants to do Ratzon Hashem, it's just that he has such a strong temptation to do the Avera, to do the sin, then you'd never judge him. Why would you ever judge him? Unfortunately, I'm just going to go off topic for a second, but unfortunately, social media is taking one mistake that one Jew made somewhere in the world and is spreading it to every single Jewish community in the world. That's what it's doing. Someone gets a hold of some sort of video of some Jew doing something that maybe he shouldn't have done. And what does he do with that? He spreads it on the spot. Once he spreads it, finished. It's spread to this person, that, and that person spreads to that person. And now, you know, on WhatsApp, you have broadcast lists. Ooh, wow, forget it, right? You could put 100, 200, 300 people on your broadcast lists. You know, whenever you get this juicy, you know, Lashon Hara video, all you need to do is put it on your broadcast list. With one click of a button, 200 people are viewing this video. And that's all on your account. That's all on your credit. Next time you want to forward this a video, an article, a meme, whatever it is, think twice. Don't think twice. Think three times before you forward it. Think three times before you forward something that could potentially be putting down another Jew. Now we have to understand, guys, that now is not the time to bring out negativity within our brothers. You should know that when a person forwards a video like that or an article like that, it's nearly impossible to repent for it. It's nearly impossible to do tshuva for it. Think about it. The damage was done. It cannot be taken back. In 17 seconds, it was seen by 17,000 people. Think about that. That makes it 17,000 isurei deoraita, biblical sins, that are all on your account. That's pretty severe. I would not recommend that. Instead, we should be trying to find amazing videos that bring out amazing things and positivity that's found in other Jews and sending that around. I'm not telling you get off of social media. I'm telling you that use social media for a good cause. Back to our topic. Anyways, we define chametz as the yetzara that's inside of us. That's what chametz is. That being said, now we can understand what bedikat chametz is all about. Says the Pele Yoed, something unbelievable. He says that we know in every mitzvah, every single mitzvah can be understood on four different levels, which is also known as pardes. Pei resh dalet samech. Pei represents pshat. Every mitzvah can be understood on a pshat level, on a simple level, the simple understanding, the simple reason behind it. That's pshat. And then you have remez. Remez is like the hint behind that reason. That's the remes. And then you have the drush, which is something that's like a homiletical teaching that's learned out of a pasuk. It's not the literal translation of the pasuk, but it's a nice explanation. And then you have sod, which is the Kabbalistic reason behind it. Says the Pele Yoetz, the mitzvah of bedikat chametz. What's the pshat behind it? What's the simple understanding behind bedikat chametz? Says the Pele Yoetz, there is no simple understanding behind it. The simple understanding is what? Is the remez, is the hinted understanding, is the hinted explanation. What's the hinted explanation behind the reason of behind the mitzvah bedikat chametz? It means that chametz represents the yetzara, and we have to search within ourselves and find the yetzara inside of us, and then burn it, and then eradicate it. That's what the Pele Yoetz says. It's a big chidush. Most people don't learn like that. Most people do not learn like that. But that's what the Pele Yoetz says. And that's why our mothers and grandmothers go crazy about chametz. They go crazy. Why? Because that's what the mitzvah is all about, searching from within. Says the Toldot Yaakov Yosef, that's why the Gemara in Pesachim says that 30 days before the holiday of Pesach, sho'alin v'dorshin b'hilchot ha-Pesach. Person must search and must ask about the halachot of Pesach 30 days beforehand. So what does that mean, shalin, you ask, and dorshin, and you seek? Why two different words to tell us the same thing? So says the Tolo Yaakov Yosef, that's not two different words telling us the same thing. It's two different words that tell us two different things. The two parts to the mitzvah of Bedikat Chametz, because one of it refers to the actual physical halachot of actually getting on your knees and going to search for chametz. That's shoalim. But vidorshim, to seek out, to go and search, that's referring to the kavanah, to the meaning behind Bedikat Chametz, which is searching for the yetzara that's inside of us. A person shouldn't think that he is clean from the yetzara, that he is okay. Listen, I've done my time, I've worked on myself, I am who I am, accept me for who I am, and so on and so forth. That's not a Jewish way of thinking. A person has to always tell himself, whatever I have, it's not enough. I need to grow more. And I still have specks of chametz inside of me that I need to get rid of. Says the Avodat Yisrael, I'm very into Hasidic sources tonight, please excuse me. But says the Avodat Yisrael, that's why we put out 10 pieces. We asked before, why do we put out 10 pieces? What is it, a game? We know that we cleaned our house for chametz already. We know that it's perfectly clean. Why is it that we're still putting out 10 pieces to go and search for it? Says the Avodat Yisrael, to remind us that we're not perfect, that there's always more to clean. Whoever thinks that they've been metakin themselves, they fixed themselves, they reached perfection, and there's nothing that they need to work on anymore, says Avodat Yisrael, these words, very strong words, he says, Lo hitchil l'avodat Hashem. You did not even begin to serve God, if that's your mindset, that's your mentality. If you're happy where you are, Lo hitchil l'avodat Hashem. You didn't even start, you didn't even scratch the surface of serving God. Sometimes a person feels that, listen, okay, beseda, I'm not the nicest person. I speak some Lashon, I'm fine. But at least I learned Daf Yomi. At least I'm learning very well. At least I have a chavruta. I'm very stark. I wear white shirt, black pants, whatever it is. But I learn, right? And learning is the most important thing. We know that. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, right? And therefore he finds that as an excuse, as a reason why it's okay to not work on his midot. Let me tell you what the Gemara in Shabbat says about a person like that. The Gemara in Shabbat, this is actually today's daf, speaking of daf yomi, today's daf, daf lamad aleph amud aleph, all the way in the bottom of the page. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rabba says in the name of Rav Huna, Kol Adam sheyesh bo Torah, any person that has Torah inside of him, that means he's knowledgeable in Torah, Ve'en bo, turning the page to Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, Ve'en bo Yirat Shamayim, but does not have Yirat Shamayim, meaning he's not God-fearing, meaning that he's not careful with his midot, says the Gemara, Dome le gizbar shemasrulo maftechot apnimiyot umaftechot achitzoniyot lo masrulo. It's similar to a person that they handed to him the keys to the house, but the key to the gate that's supposed to protect the house, they did not even give to him. So what are those keys worth already? He received keys that can open the doors to the house, but he can't even get inside the courtyard to open the house. That's what it means. Okay, good. You have the keys to the house. That's amazing. You have the Torah. Very good. But the conversation doesn't even begin if you can't even get to the courtyard. And that's what Yirat Shamayim is. The Gemara continues something amazing. Machmiz Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai used to announce, he used to go all over the place and announce, Chaval al delet le darta, vetara le darta avid. It says, Chaval for a person who doesn't even have a house, doesn't have a place to live. But what's he doing? He's going to build a fence around his house. What's the fence supposed to do if you don't even have a house? That's what the Gemara in Shabbat says. What's it worth? What is your Torah worth already if you have no Yirat Shamayim? As it says, Reshit Chokhmah, the beginning of Chokhmah, you want to enter into the world of Chokhmah of Torah, you want to enter into that world. Reshit Chokhmah is Yirat Hashem. Yirat Hashem. That's what it is. That's Reshit Chokhmah. Yirat Hashem, to have Yirat Shamayim. There was one time that I went to, when I was in Israel for the year, so I went to visit a rabbi, not for the sake of visiting him, but because he was in America recently, and my mother gave him something to give me, I was there in Israel, and he gave it to me. So it was in his house. I went to go pick it up. It happened to have been Erev Yom Kippur. And for all those who don't know, the Ben Ish Chai brings down Erev Yom Kippur. There's a custom to eat fish, right? Especially in the morning, Shacharit of Yom Kippur, of Erev Yom Kippur. You know, there's a mitzvah to eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, right? So it's a custom to eat fish. And I sat there, and, you know, he sat me down, very, very nice. And, you know, he said, "Nu achalta dagim hayom? Did you eat fish today?" I said, "No, it's not really on the top of my mind right now to eat fish, but no, I haven't." So right away he shouts to his, I forgot if it was his wife or his daughter, he shouts to his wife or his daughter and says, you know, like pretty ridiculous, mean, angry, aggressive words, basically forcing her to go and prepare fish for me on the spot. Now, at that moment in time, I was very flattered, like, wow, you're treating me like a king. It's very, very nice. But now that I'm looking back at it, like that's how you spoke to your wife or to your daughter, whoever it was, to anyone. That's not how you speak to anyone. You know, that's an example of someone who, and again, I'm not judging this person, I'm just giving you this example to bring out a point. That's not an example of someone who represents Torah. You speak to your family members, especially your wife, especially your daughter. You speak to them with respect, menachat, in peace, in serenity. Shouldn't be yelling at them, screaming at them, commanding them. That's not how things work. Yirat Shamayim comes before Torah. That's what it means when it comes time for Bedikat Chametz, just to bring out this point even more. When it comes time for Bedikat, when the time comes, Tzeta Kochavim, when the time comes, a person needs to stop everything that he's doing. Everything. Needs to stop everything. Including what? Including learning Torah. You're learning Torah. Ah, it's the most important thing in the world. Hashem created the world just for the Torah. Da, 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 da. Yeah. But you stop learning Torah right now. Because you need to go and find that Chametz. That's the halacha. That's what the halacha tells us. So Pesach, in short, is called Zman Cherutenu. It's called the time of our freedom. What exactly is freedom? We just explained what Chametz is. We explained what Chag HaMatzot means. Chag HaMatzot means you eat matzah and you get rid of the Chametz. Getting rid of Chametz, which you do through Bidikat Chametz and Biur Chametz and burning and eradicating the Chametz, means searching within yourself to find what needs improvement, what areas, what aspects in your life, in your personality needs to be worked on. That's what means, that's what Chametz means. So now we go on to Zman Cherutenu. What does that mean? What does it mean, Zman Cherutenu? It's the time of our freedom. It's Yom HaTzma'ut. What exactly does that mean? What does freedom mean? So people think to be free means to do exactly what you want. To do and fulfill your heart's desires. Similar to what people do when they retire, right? What do people do when they retire? So you have two types of people. Someone who he retires, basically he hangs up his cleats, he hangs up his uniform, and he spends all of his retirement money doing what? On plane tickets and hotels and going to tour the world. Restaurants, plane tickets, hotels, basically doing things that he never had a chance to do. That's what some people do. Other people, what do? And there are people like this. They retire at age 50, 60, halavai aleinu, and what do? They also do something that they always wanted to do. They go and sit and learn in kollel. That's what they want, always wanted to do. They go and do that. What's the difference? The difference is that people who are doing their heart's desires, people who are fulfilling their temptations, right? Some people, like, you know, similar to a person that, you know, I hear this a lot from students. Person says, and I'm not judging anyone here in this room. There's some people here that I don't know, and I'm not judging you. And I mean this in the most polite and easygoing way possible. It's just my experiences with some students. But people who choose not to be shomer negiyah, people who choose not to be careful, not to touch the opposite gender before they are married, right? So what do they say? I don't want the Torah to restrict me. I don't want the Torah to dictate how I live life. I want to do what I want to do. Listen, okay, the Torah says temptations and this and that. I don't have the temptations. I'm not going to do. I'm not going to cross any lines. So what exactly does that mean? Of another person, I don't want to be told to keep Shabbat. What does that mean to keep Shabbat? I don't want to be told to do that. I don't want to do that, right? I don't want to be told what to do. I want to be free. That's what I hear. I want to be free. I want to be free to do what I want to do. But the truth is that there's nothing further from the truth. A person who is like that, and again, I'm not judging anyone. Each one has their own cheshbonot. But a person who is like that, who keeps on telling himself and convincing himself that he wants to be free to do whatever he wants to do, is the opposite. Is someone who is a slave to his desires. Is someone who has no self-control, who cannot control himself. Think about it. When a person, I'm not comparing that to people who have addictions, and whoever does have addictions, you got something they should get well very, very soon. But a person, for example, let's talk about a very mild one. A person who has an addiction to tobacco, he smokes cigarettes and he can't control himself. What's the most class, or an alcoholic? What's the most commonly used phrase that an alcoholic would say? I'm not addicted. I could stop whenever I want. I just don't want to stop. I just don't want to stop. But I could stop. But if I wanted to stop, I could stop. So that person that would say that to you, make a bet and say, fine, you don't want to, you could stop. If you want to stop, go. Prove it to me. And he won't be able to because he's addicted, because he's being controlled by his desires. Now, alcoholism and tobacco, that's already, you know, might have what to do with your brain and stuff like that. And it's an actual addiction that you may need medication and or therapy to get rid of. I'm not talking about things like that. But things that people do or say that tell themselves that they're free. They're free. I could do whatever I want to do. Yeah, you do whatever you want to do. Try to stop. And many people will not be able to stop. That means that they're not in control. Freedom means that you are in control of yourself. That's what freedom means. The most free type of person is a king. A king is someone who, why is he the most free? Because he is someone who is in complete control. The opposite is a slave. A slave is someone who is not in control, rather is being controlled by someone else. That's a slave. A slave is someone who is being controlled. Think about nowadays, how many of us, myself included, are struggling with being addicted to technology, to their phones. Try to go 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, an hour, without picking up your phone to check who sent you a message or check what other news feed you got in the past 20 minutes. How difficult it is. How dependent we are. How much of lack of control that we have. So we're slaves to an extent. We're all slaves to an extent. To be a king means to be in control. That's what it means to be a king. So Pesach, Hashem took us out of slavery. What does that mean? It took us out of slavery. Hashem made us free men. That means Hashem wiped away our addictions. Hashem wiped away our yetzer hara, took it away from us. Baruch Hashem, that we should be able to leave Mitzrayim as free men. That's why on Pesach, the entire night, what do? We act like kings. Kings are free men. Because Pesach is man cheruteinu, time of our freedom. But it doesn't just come like that. There's a prerequisite. There's a requirement that needs to be met in order for us to access Zman Cheruteinu, in order for us to access the holiday that symbolizes freedom. What is that? Bidikat Chametz. That's what it is. Searching for our Chametz that is within us. That's what it is. That's how we reach freedom. That's how we can become kings. You want to really celebrate like a king on the Leil HaSeder, which is this coming Wednesday night. You want to really celebrate like a king and feel like a king? Be in control of yourself. Be in control of your temptations. Don't let your temptations be in control of you. Don't tell yourself, if I want, I could stop. I just don't want to stop. Sheker, false. If you want to stop, stop. Go for it. Do it. And we'll see if you could do it or not. And if you could do it, then you're a free man. If you still can't do it, you're a slave. Search for those yetzer haras. Search for them. Act on them. Work on yourself. The more you do that, the more free you will feel. The more free you will feel, the more royal you will feel. The more Zman Cherutenu will be engraved inside of you. And the more you will feel like a king on Pesach. So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hamotzit Amo Yisrael mitocham lecherut olam. Hashem took us out to an eternal, to an everlasting freedom. What does that mean? We've been in slavery so many times. Yeah, but the freedom to control ourselves, we still have today. That was given to us coming out of Mitzrayim. And that was an everlasting freedom. There's a person who can feel free, like a free man, no matter what anyone else does to him. That's what. There was a story with one of the Lubavitch Rebbes. I forgot which one it was. That he was in a near-death situation. That one of the Russian soldiers stuck a gun to his head and wanted to force him to do something. I don't remember exactly what it was. And what was he doing? He was laughing. That's all he was doing. And the Russian soldier, he didn't understand why this guy was laughing. Here I am putting a gun to your head. I'm torturing you. I'm hitting you. I'm smacking you. I'm injuring you. And you're laughing. Why are you laughing? He was laughing. He said, you can't control me. You could shoot me. You want to kill me? Kill me. You're not controlling me. He said to him, the difference between me and you is that you have two gods, but you only have one world. After this world, you're done. You want to kill me? Kill me. I have one God, but I have access to two different worlds. You take me away from this world, I'm going to the next world. That's called someone who is a free man. He has freedom. And even though he is physically enslaved, but deep down he is not enslaved, he's a free person, he's a king. The ability that we have to free ourselves from our slavery of the Yetzer Hara, that was an everlasting one. As it says, "Hamotzit Amo Yisrael mitocham lecherut olam," to an everlasting freedom. And that's why the Ben Ish Chai says, you know, to all those who are doing Bidikat Chametz, try to do it with care, with perfection, and you should take, as the Ben Ish Chai says, a tray, a small little tray or a plate, and put a feather on it, and a knife, and a candle. That's what the Ben Ish Chai brings down. In addition to that, right? Why a knife? So you could scrape, you know, the chametz and bring it onto your tray. Why a feather? So you could clean out things in the cracks, right? Why a candle? So you could see in the dark places. But the Ben Ish Chai adds that you should also put salt on your platter. Put salt on that tray, on that plate. Why salt? So he says, first of all, the Kabbalistic reasons. Okay, I'm not going to get into that because I'm not a Kabbalist and I don't understand those reasons. But then he gives another reason. And he says, because salt is a siman of kiyum. Kiyum means something that is going to be lasting. Salt doesn't spoil, doesn't rot. Salt can stay forever. Put salt in a jar, it's just going to stay there. Nothing's going to happen to it. So too says the Ben Ish Chai, that our bidikat chametz, our search for chametz, our eradication of the chametz that's inside of us should be a lasting one. It shouldn't just last one night. The inspiration that we have on Pesach shouldn't just last on Pesach. The question is not if we are inspired throughout Pesach. That's not a success. A success is, can we carry that inspiration with us until after Pesach and into the entire year? So that is the idea, that is the message behind Bidikat Chametz. So to answer our questions, we know what the connection between Zman Cherutenu and Chag HaMatzot is. Zman Cherutenu means it's all about our freedom, reaching a state of freedom and leaving slavery. How do we access that? Through Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaMatzot means we only eat matzah and we get rid of Chametz. Getting rid of Chametz means getting rid of the Yetzer Hara. You get rid of the Yetzer Hara, that means you're in control. You're in control, you're a free man. That's a connection. More than that, we know that there's the extra emphasis on getting rid of chametz, bidikat chametz, is such a strong mitzvah because it symbolizes what it means to be free. That's why Arizal says, whoever does this is muftach lo shelo yechtak kol hashana. He won't sin. We ask the question, what does searching for chametz in your house have to do with not sinning the entire year? But we know there's a direct link between it. Searching for chametz means searching for the Yetzer Hara inside of you. And getting rid of that means that you will not sin the entire year. And then we explained that not to think that we are all perfect. None of us are perfect. And therefore, don't think I did my Yom Kippur already. I put in my time. I'm okay. I did my tshuva. No, chas v'shalom. One is never perfect. There's always what to work on. And for that reason, we lay out 10 pieces of chametz on the night of Bedikat Chametz, even though we cleaned the house to perfection. Why? To show that there's always more to find. There's always more chametz, and we'll never reach that goal unless we try and try and try. And lastly, we know that the freedom that we reached in Pesach, in Mitzrayim, was an everlasting one. We were given the ability to fight our Yetzer. We were given the ability to eradicate our Yetzer Ha, and eventually to reach freedom. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is to fight. That's all Hashem wants from us. And this is something that all of our mothers need to know also, that you're not judged for the chametz that you were to find on Pesach. You're not judged for that. You're judged for the effort that you put in searching for the chametz. If you happen to see something that pops out of the ceiling, you see a piece of chametz popping out of the ceiling, that's not your fault. You're not going to be punished for that, I promise. If you are, it's on my account. But what you will be punished for if you didn't put in the effort to go and search for the chametz around the house in the places that chametz is normally found in. So what does Hashem want from us? Hashem wants from us, the goal is not to destroy the Yetzer Hara inside of us. That's nearly impossible to do in our lifetime. The goal is to fight. Hashem wants us to fight. Hashem knows that it's a struggle, knows that it's a challenge, but wants us to fight. And the more we fight, the more nachat ruach, the more pleasure we're giving Hashem. And to always remember, Ritzonenu lasot ritzoncha, that deep down, our desire is to do Hashem's desire. Don't judge yourself. Deep down, you want to do the right thing. Deep down, the Jews around you also want to do the right thing. And Mizrat Hashem, by judging everyone favorably, by judging yourself favorably, by working on our midot, working on ourselves, trying to clean and check within ourselves to find all the chametz, all the bad traits that we have, and trying to get rid of them, Bezrat Hashem will be zoche to be olet Yerushalayim, to go to Yerushalayim this coming Pesach with Mashiach, and all bring the Korban Pesach together with happiness, in unity. Bezrat Hashem, it should be this coming Pesach. Guys, have an amazing night. Thank you so, so much for listening. If anyone has any questions, thoughts, comments, feelings, I'm more than happy to field those. Otherwise, have yourselves a wonderful night. Chag Kasher v'Sameach. It was a pleasure learning with you.
Rabbi, I have a question, or a feeling, thought, whatever to call it. Sure. You said about feeling, 1 second, it slipped. What was I going to ask? About how you should never be happy with you should never be satisfied with where you are, right? But isn't there a sense of then you'll never feel shlemut, you'll never kind of feel happy if you always want more? It's kind of I was learning about let's say people who want money, they'll never be happy because if they're chasing money, because they're always chasing the next million or the next dollar. But I feel also in spirituality, it's kind of the same. I'm never going to be happy because I'm always chasing the next thing.
100%. So a person has to have a balance between pushing forward and being satisfied and giving himself a pat on the back. My Rebbe always used to say, here, I'll show you a sefer. See, I'm holding a book, right? So he always used to say, you should be flipping, these pages and those pages. Why both? You should be flipping the pages that you already learned to give yourself a good feeling and to give yourself that moment, that feeling of pride that, oh, Baruch Hashem, I finished, so much, or I learned so much. But at the same time, you should also be flipping the other pages to show that, hey, listen, but I'm not done yet, so therefore I can't give up. The idea is that, of course, you have to feel good about yourself. Of course, you have to give yourself a pat on the back. But if that is holding you back from growing, then it's not coming from a good place. Understand? Yeah. If that's holding you back, if that's basically forcing you to sit home, relax, watch TV, eat potato chips, play Fortnite for the entire night, and just keep on telling yourself, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, then you know it's not coming from the right place. So you have to have 100%. You have to give yourself, a feeling of a sense of fulfillment, 100%, 100%. There needs to be a balance. But at the same time, At the same time, you should always be hungry. Always be hungry to grow. That hunger should never leave. Should always be hungry to go.
Got it. Thank you, Rabbi.
Sure, sure, sure.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Sure.
So we already learned that the purpose of this Berakat Hametz is to erase our Yetzer Hara, right? But I understand that idea, but I don't understand the idea of killing it. Like, don't have it, you know, it's like shechita, but it's almost impossible. I think there's only one person in our story that killed the Yetzer Hara, but how do you do that? Like,
yeah, so like
it's not realistic.
Right, right, 100%, 100%. So right, so like I was saying a couple of minutes ago, I maybe I wasn't clear enough when I said this, but think about it like this. Again, the analogy is that chametz that you find is the yetzer hara, right? So let's say you searched a lot in your house, and then, you know, out of nowhere, chametz popped out of nowhere, you know, from the ceiling. Okay, there's no way you would have found that when you did bedikat chametz, right? It just popped out of nowhere. You're going to be punished for that or no? Is that your fault? No. You did your own. You did what you needed to do, right? You did what God wanted you to do. So it's not your fault, right? So the idea is that, listen, there are going to be parts inside of you that the Yetzer Hara, you know, it's just, it might just pop up sometimes and might even be out of your control sometimes. But that's not what you're going to be, what you're held accountable for. What you're held accountable for is the Bidika. Is searching for the chametz that's visible to you, that's known to you, that chametz that you're able to find, you're able to search and track down, that's what you're going to be held accountable for. So yeah, of course, it's unrealistic to completely destroy your Yetzer Hara. If you destroy Yetzer Hara, then your job in this world is over. You're not going to be alive anymore. Hashem says your job is done and he's going to take you to the next world. But the idea is the fight, like I told you before. The fight. It's all about the fight. It's all about putting on your boxing gloves and fighting and fighting and fighting and throwing a punch and then getting hit in the face and throwing another punch and getting hit in the face again. It's all about the searching for chametz, trying your hardest to find it and to get rid of it. Obviously, it's unrealistic to destroy your Yetzer Hara, but the search is the most important thing.
Zagwaruch,
Aaron.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Laila Tov.
Laila Tov, Meitar. Great to see you, Aaron. Great to see you. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi. Yasher Koach.
Zagwaruch, thank you so much.
Zagwaruch. Bye-bye.